as we stay in worship this morning, just want to give the opportunity for a word or testimony, somebody that's thankful for this week. Scripture, anything somebody wants to bring it for us, please. This morning I'm going to speak about how do we walk in truth and power. I'm not going to do the talking. The Bible is going to do the talking, so I'm going to do a lot of reading. Because I don't want to bore you with my opinion, but we all want to learn what the Lord is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Scriptures. So, how do we walk in truth and power? Very simple illustration. If this leg is truth and this leg is power, this is how we go. This is how we walk. Truth and power. I know it's very abstract now, but let's delve a bit into that. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus says, I am the truth, the way and the life. So we're talking about a person, Jesus being a person. He says, I'm truth. We get a lot of questions. What is truth? Does the Muslims have truth? Does the Jews have truth? What is truth? And Jesus made it very simple for us. He said, I am truth. That's it. That's where it starts. That's where it stops. Opposite of truth is error. Matthew 22 verse 29, we're going to get into the scriptures now. I just want to quote a couple of verses. Matthew 22 verse 29, Jesus says, your error is caused by your ignorance of the scriptures and of God's power. Once again, we've got this two-sided, the truth and the power. I'm going to read it again. Jesus says, your error is caused by your ignorance of the scriptures and of God's power. So he's basically saying you do not know the scriptures and therefore you do not know God's power. Okay, so let's get into Acts. We're going to do the first couple of chapters of Acts because that's where the church started. That's where power was introduced in the church of the day, which was the Judaic church, the temple. So the first encounter with power. Jesus said, if you can remember, we all know these scriptures. Jesus said to his disciples when he went up, wait for me, or wait in the upper room. I must go up, but I'm sending one. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to remind you of everything that I told you. So in Acts 1 verse 8, you can go there if you want to. I'm going to read in the Amplified, because the King James is a bit, a lot of these and thous. I'm going to bore you with that. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. While I'm talking about this, think of what is happening in our church. We've just had Bloemfontein missions. India is coming. India missions is coming, and Mozambique is also coming. We are all involved in that. So it's with this background that I'm sharing this with us. So when the Holy Spirit, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. That word power, I'm sure a lot of you know, in Greek it's translated as dunamis, which means an inherent power capable of reproducing itself like a dynamo. We don't really have much to do with dynamos, but we know generators. If there is no Eskom power in your house, you switch on the generator and there's power. So from now, no power to full power with a generator. Now the word says, in us there's a dynamo. Power works like a dynamo. And I want to combine this with Jude 20. Maybe I must just go there and read it for us. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do we start this dynamo? How do we get it, keep it going? By praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. It's our heavenly language that builds this dynamo in us. If we're flat, if our emotions is flat, we can shout like David, Saul, you will serve the Lord. And we start praying in the Spirit, and this charges this power in us, so that when we come to the world, or my colleague at work, which I'm walking a path with, there is power to be released. It's not Marius connecting to him, it's this power in me that is released. We're going to look at this power a bit later, because power is also a person. But we'll get to that much later. So, I want to read to us 2 Peter 1 verse 3. I'm just going to read it from here. His divine power, also the same Greek word, dunamis. His divine power has given us all things that are suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. Just want to read it, just take it a bit apart. His divine power has given us all things that are suited to life and godliness. Everything we need for this life and for our godliness, our church's godliness, comes from this power that is in every one of us, this dynamo power. Important through the full personal knowledge of him. This is where everything starts, is that loving relationship that we have with our Father. He says, come draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He just does it much bigger, much faster. We take one step, he takes 10, 100 steps, infinity steps to come towards us. So through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory. So by his glory he called us, to his glory he called us. Just something interesting facts that I saw when I was going through this. The word dunamis, power, is 75 times in the New Testament. We've only got 27 books. So you're looking at about 3 times in every book on average that this word of power, the specific Greek word of power, dunamis, appears in the Bible. So I think it's important if it is repeated that many times. Okay, the other word we have for power is exousia, also a Greek word. It says delegated authority and liberty to exercise the full power of attorney to all God's interests. Complete authority to act in God's stead, as if God himself were here doing the work. Power to act as freely of his own will as one has power to eat and drink. Just look at this, at that again. Delegated authority. Liberty to exercise full power of attorney. So the legalists here, the attorneys, will know what is power of attorney. It's when you are acting on somebody's behalf. Maybe your parents assign over power of attorney to you, and you are managing their finances or their legal affairs. Now God says, I'm giving you complete authority to act in my stead, as if God were here doing it himself. We've got this power of attorney to act on God's behalf. And he says you do it freely of your own will, as one has power to eat and drink. I mean, if you're thirsty, you go to the fridge, you take a bottle of water, you drink it freely. You're hungry, you take an apple and you eat it. He makes the same comparison. He says just as freely you can use God's power because you're acting on behalf of his will. Why are we using God's power? It's for the world. We have something the world hasn't got, and that is the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus that we have. So just a principle on this, for power to be received, it must first be given. John 3 verse 27 says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. So Jesus gives, but we need to receive. We cannot just say, no, Jesus, it's nice, the power is there. We need to receive that power, build it up, and then release it into the world and towards each other. Matthew 10 verse 1, Jesus called to him the 12 disciples and gave them power. The same power, exousia. Against, why did he give this power? Against unclean spirits, to cast them out. And secondly, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, so what must we teach? We've talked a bit about power. Let's get back to truth. What must we teach? I'm going to take us to the first sermon in Jerusalem. It's where the Jews are gathered in the temple in the temple in Jerusalem. So Jesus told them to wait. They are praying, they're busy praying together, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills them with power. Let's see what happens. Acts 2 verse 14. So now I'm going to let the word do the talking. Acts 2 verse 14. So, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, the people that was outside the temple saw something strange happening. Everyone is talking in their language. Different Greeks, Romans, everybody. They are being understood in their own language, or they can understand what they are saying. And they're saying, so this is about the 10th hour. They started praying the 9th hour. This is about, say, the 10th hour, 11th hour. I'm mixing it up. It's the 3rd hour Jewish. But for us, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So this is probably about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. And they say, but you guys are drunk. These people are drunk. So Peter, I think having a bit of a holy anger, gets up and says, He raised his voice and addressed them. You Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be explained to you so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine. For it is only the third hour, about 9 o'clock of the day. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now he quotes Joel. So we're talking about truth. When we quote scripture, scripture also, just a little bit, scripture, there's a word logos, which means what I'm reading here is logos, and there's another word in Greek, rhema. Rhema is that became part of me. It's written in my heart. When it's released out of my mouth, it becomes the sword of the Spirit. And this is this logos turning into rhema. And now he's quoting Joel, truth. And he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels, and your young men shall see visions. That is divinely granted appearances. Okay, this is the Amplified version, so he's amplifying everything. And your old men shall dream, divinely suggested dreams. Yes, and on my men servants also, and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, still the prophecy of Joel, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So this word is now going out in the temple. There's about, I think the temple could accommodate about 200,000 Jews at a time. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is invoking, adoring, and worshipping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. Let me just see. Yeah. Because they were teaching and preaching truth, the first persecution, because of this word going out in the temple. Now remember, they're preaching Jesus and they're preaching that he's resurrected. This is not what the Jews want to hear. They want to hear the Savior is coming. And they don't want to hear this Savior is Jesus Christ. They want another Savior that can rescue them from the Romans, can take the suppression from them. So now persecution is coming from the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. Let's fast forward to Acts 4, verse 8 to 12, and hear what they now. They're bringing them before the council. Let's hear what the disciples are saying. Acts 4, verse 8 to 12. Then Peter, because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and members of the council, if we are being put on trial here today and examined concerning a good deed done to benefit a feeble, helpless cripple, by what means this man has been restored to health? So it also went on before this. They came to the temple and this layman said, give us something. And he said, no, but we don't have gold and silver, but we give you this. Get up in the name of Jesus. And this caused another uproar. If we are being put on trial here today and examined concerning a good deed done to benefit a feeble, helpless cripple, by what means this man has been restored to health, let it be known and understood by you all and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through whom you crucified, let it be known and understood by you all and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, in him and by means of him, This man is standing here before you well and sound in body. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you. So this is actually the Savior that the Jews were waiting for. But they didn't see it. But which has become the head, the external angle of the corner, the cornerstone. So Jesus now is the head of, the positioning here is that Jesus becomes now the head of the church. And we become the body. This is where we became the body 2,000 years ago. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. So the disciples went back to their gathering and they prayed for power to preach and teach the truth, because now they are being persecuted. So look how they are handling the persecution. Acts 4 verse 24 to 30. We're talking about this because it's very relevant to our day-to-day lives. The same truth that the Jews were preaching here, the disciples, and later the Gentiles, Paul and then Peter, Philip, were preaching, is the same truth that we are preaching today. And the same power is involved, the same person is involved, which we'll talk about just now. Acts 4, verse 24 to 30. And they, when they heard it, lifted their voices together with one united mind to God and said, O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. They were quoting from Exodus and Psalms here. Who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said through the Holy Spirit, why did the heathen, the Gentiles, become wanton and insolent and rage, and the people imagine and study and plan vain, fruitless things that will not succeed? The kings of the earth took their stand in array, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against his anointed, Christ the Messiah. For in this city they actually met and plotted together against your holy child and servant Jesus, whom you consecrated by anointing, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel, to carry out all that your hand and your will and purpose had predestined should occur. And now, Lord, observe their threats, and grant to your bondservants, we hear, full freedom to declare your message fearlessly, while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant, Jesus. Another sermon happened when a Gentile family, a Roman family, Cornelius, they were praying. And while he was praying, he saw in a vision that somebody will come, I think it was Peter, will come and will preach the good news to them. At the same time, Peter was also praying. And he saw, I don't want to go into all the specifics, but he saw this vision of animals which they don't normally eat, like pigs. And the Lord said, eat this. He says, Lord, I'm not going to eat it. And basically what the Lord was saying to him, go to the Gentiles, spread the good news to the Gentiles. And the Lord took him to Cornelius. I'm going to read this, Acts 10 verse 34. Let's fast forward to Acts 10 verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, most certainly and thoroughly I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. What happened is he preached the good news, and the Holy Spirit, just like in the beginning of Acts, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that's why he's saying now, I thoroughly now I perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. You know the context of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, wearing a person there, and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good and in particularly curing all that were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of everything that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And yet they put him out of the way, murdered him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him to life on the third day and caused him to be manifest, to be plainly seen, not by all the people, but to us who were chosen beforehand by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he charged us, all of us here, to preach to the people and to bear solemn testimony that he is the God-appointed and God-ordained judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets testify. Now we're talking about truth again. To him all the prophets testify, bear witness that everyone who believes in him, who adheres to, trust in and relies on him, giving himself up to him, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Acts 11 verse 15 and 16. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered, so here Peter is back in Jerusalem, and he's getting a hard time because he took the good news to the Gentiles. And the church in Jerusalem is saying, why did you do that? And he explained to them exactly what happened. And he said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with the water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And here we come to the climax, that the power that they were baptized with in the beginning is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit. The power of Pentecost is a person. And we've got these two legs again, truth and power. Truth, where Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. But at the same time, power being the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit that was present at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Just want to read to you Acts 2 verse 37, going back to where we started. After the sermon that they preached, the first sermon that was preached, now when they heard, this is the people that said they were drunk. Now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose. I like, all of you know C.S. LaRue. He says you're walking in one direction in your life, and then you meet Christ. Then you repent and you turn around 180 degrees. And now you're walking not your dreams, but God's dream. You're walking towards Christ. So you're talking about repent, 180 degrees around. What was that? Acts 2:37. And Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the last thing is Acts 8 verse 4. I think the Greeks call it diaspora. It's where the Jews went all over the earth. But I just want to set the stage for that, how it happened. Just going to read from verse 1. Acts 8 verse 1. So Stephen was martyred. Stephen saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when he said it, they stoned him because of that. And Saul was standing there. Saul was not only consenting to Stephen's death, Saul became Paul later on. He was pleased and entirely approving. On that day, a great and severe persecution broke out against the church which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, the special messengers. A party of devout men with others helped to carry out and bury Stephen, and make great lamentation over him. But Saul shamefully treated and laid waste the church continuously with cruelty and violence, and entering house after house, he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. Verse 4, now those who were scattered abroad went about through the land from place to place, preaching the glad tidings, the word that is the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. So they spread all over the world. This was God's plan. Persecution, and then suddenly they were spreading all. Now, we don't have persecution in such sense, but I think God is using us 2,000 years later to equip us that we can be full of the word, full of the spirit, truth and power. And that we can go out into our lives every day and spread the word. And I think more than that, God is equipping us in this church to be able to go anywhere in the world and do His will, what He wants us to do. I think something that was on my heart, is to be to pray for the Lord to fill us up with His Spirit. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're looking at this at Acts. The Jews were in Judaism, and for them to accept Christ, they had to be baptized in water, which basically means they were dying to Judaism. But now we're talking about when we accept Jesus, we are being baptized into the body, baptized into the Holy Spirit. We are saved. But there's another infilling of the Holy Spirit. We are filled up with the Holy Spirit. That is continual. That can take place daily. That is where you are being filled with God, like Jacobus was saying, just spending time with God, just being alone with Him. He just comes and He fills that level up again for overflowing. That you can give not of yourself, but you can give of this that He has put in you. This dunamis power and this truth. So, anybody that wants prayer, please. And the helpers can help with that as well. Thank you.